Live from NPR News, I'm Korva Coleman. A committee advising the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is set to vote today on who will get the first doses of COVID-19 vaccines. NPR's Selena Simmons-Duffin reports there may be debate about who should be in that group.
Healthcare workers are widely agreed to be the very first in line. Where there's a bit of debate is whether seniors living in long-term care facilities should be in this very first tier, too. The burden of deaths among this group is staggering, but sometimes vaccines don't work as well in older people, and some members of the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices have indicated they're not in favor of adding long-term care residents to this first group. State officials in charge of vaccine distribution are eager for the committee's recommendation so they know who should get the initial limited doses of the COVID-19 vaccine. Selena Simmons-Duffin, NPR News.
Today is World AIDS Day. The World Health Organization says the coronavirus pandemic has disrupted care for millions of people globally who are HIV positive. As of 2019, more than 38 million people around the world had HIV. Some people are not aware of their status. A government watchdog is highlighting problems with the way the Labor Department tracks unemployment claims. NPR Scott Horsley reports policymakers will have trouble reaching well-informed decisions.
Throughout the pandemic, the weekly report on unemployment claims has offered a rough guide to the overall weakness in the labor market. But the new report from the Government Accountability Office is documenting shortcomings of those data, which are not vetted as rigorously as most official economic statistics. The GAO says the weekly figures have often overstated the total number of people collecting unemployment because of backlogs in processing, fraud, and other data collection problems. Millions of people are relying on emergency jobless benefits, but the precise number is not clear in the Labor Department's reports. That's a challenge for lawmakers as they try to assess the need for additional help. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
President-elect Joe Biden is preparing to introduce his nominees for his incoming economic team. Leading the group is his choice for Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. She is a former chair of the Federal Reserve. Later today, China hopes to land a robotic probe on the surface of the moon. NPR's Jeff Brumfield reports that the probe will drill for rock samples and then bring these samples back to Earth.
Returning a sample from the moon is complicated. Obviously, you have to get there, you have to land, but then the other hard part is you have to get everything back. And so that involves blasting off from the moon, re-entering Earth's atmosphere successfully. It's just a whole level of complexity above sending a probe out on a one-way trip.
NPR's Jeff Brumfield reporting. This is NPR News. A congressional district in Georgia is holding a runoff election today for the remainder of the term of the late Congressman John Lewis. Robert Franklin and Kwanzaa Hall are competing, but the winner will only serve in office until the term ends in early January. That's when Congresswoman-elect Nikema Williams will be sworn in for a full term. The Navy will scrap the USS Bonhomme Richard after a fire last July. From member station KPBS in San Diego, Steve Walsh reports the Navy believes it would be too expensive to rebuild a ship that's more than 20 years old.
Naval investigators estimate it would cost up to $3.2 billion and take up to 7 years to rebuild the USS Bonhomme Richard. Rear Admiral Eric Verhaegh announced that the Navy decided the damage was too widespread to save the ship.
From a damage perspective, it was extensive, probably 60%. Of the ship would require replacement.
The ship's crew of 1,000 was notified Monday. The ship will now undergo decommissioning in San Diego, which could take a year before the ship is ultimately sent to be scrapped. The Navy has already said they are looking at whether the fire was caused by arson. A criminal investigation is still underway. For NPR News, I'm Steve Walsh in San Diego.
Officials in Indonesia are watching several volcanoes, this after sensors recorded increased activity on some of them. One volcano on the populous island of Java spewed ash on people farther down its slopes today. There are no reports of injuries. I'm Korva Coleman, NPR News.